Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Unusual Wisdom Podcast. I am your host and your wholeness coach, Tiffany, and I would like to thank you all for returning. Thank you to my new listeners. Can we please shout out South Africa? We have listeners in South Africa, guys. Like, listen, God is doing his thing, okay? Shout out to Ireland, Russia. I'm not looking at my stats right now, so I can't really remember who it is. But listen, I just want to shout out to all of you who continue to support, continue to come and listen to hear what God has for you. Because listen, he has been teaching us this last couple weeks. Like, we are on episode number 8, and 8 is new beginnings. Hello. So welcome again, and thank you guys. I know during this time we are going through what could be super, super detrimental to a lot of people. And my prayers are out to the families who has been affected by the COVID-19. I pray that we're all able to stay safe, use wisdom during this time, and just keep your eyes on God, because he will give us peace during the storm. You know, we just have to trust and have that foundation to know, even though around us is crashing and looking scary, and not to sound insensitive, I'm just saying we have a foundation to stand on that will get us through these times. You know, some of us are out of work. You know, some of us are blessed to have work still. It's just a new phase because we are at home. We can't leave, really. And you see people complaining about not being able to go anywhere. But if I could be honest, I'm loving it. I thank God for no lack, you know, and I just thank God for the opportunity to sit down and reset. You know, you can look at this thing in two different ways or however you want to look. But I look at it at a way of another chance. I don't want to say a second chance, because second chance means, oh, after that second chance, you have no more. But the God we serve gives us new mercies every day. So this is another chance, guys. This is another chance to sit down. It's like a organized sabbatical or a ordained sabbatical, right? We taking time off from normal, quote unquote, normal living. And for some people, it has affected them, you know, deeply. Because some people need to go by a normal schedule. However, God isn't normal, right? He isn't normal. And when we live a normal life, we're living beneath what God wants us to live. Because if he's supernatural, then he don't fit in normal. And if we are supernatural, we shouldn't adapt to normal. So again, that's the way I'm looking at it. I pray that you all can see that as well. Use this time wisely, because when it's over, because this too shall pass. And when it's over, don't come out wanting to be normal. Don't come out looking for normal, because then you're going to delay your process. You're going to delay where God wants to take you, and you're going to be behind. And so this is the whole point of unusual wisdom. We knocking out the usual, right? Because we can't flourish in the usual. So let me hop off that soapbox, but I'm serious about everything I said. So again, welcome to episode number 8. I have been receiving downloads for this message. I had to pray before. I prayed before every episode, but you know, this one took me some time because it's heavy, but it's good. And I don't want to come from my flesh ever. So it took me some time, but the title of this episode is going to be called Damage Control. And I was riding one day and the Holy Spirit began to speak, because when I ride, y'all, I'm telling y'all, my mind be so deep. If y'all could just be around me, we can't even have a phone conversation and I not go deep. That's just, hey, I'm all for the unusual. Okay. So where you think you're going to call me for a usual conversation about nothing, I'm going to let you know right now, it ain't going to be that. So I was driving and just riding, and I heard God's grace is damage control. And I was like, ooh, that's good right there. Like, I would literally out loud, just my thoughts get so good. We could just be riding. I have an outburst. Ooh, that's good right there. Kids be looking at me like I'm crazy, but they don't understand. They'll know soon though. But again, Holy Spirit said, God's grace is damage control. And so I couldn't wait to get home because I said, I need to look up what damage control is, you know, so I can see exactly the revelation that this is about to be. Like, I need to get all of this, right? So when I define, let me get this up, guys. When I define what damage is, let's define damage first, because, you know, we all know when you hear damage, that's something bad, right? So damage, by definition, is physical harm caused to something in such a war as to impair its value, usefulness, and or normal function. All right, so damage definition is physical harm caused to something in such a war as to impair its value, usefulness, or normal function. Control, by definition, is the power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. Y'all, this is so good. I already feel this already. Lord, help me through this, because if I get excited, I'm gonna go left. So, okay. So if God's grace is damage control, the revelation that I received off top was that he gives us grace, and we know that grace is free and it's unmerited favor of God. So it's nothing that we can do to receive grace. It's not by our works, you know, just like salvation, it's free. It was given to us. So if God's grace will protect us from physical harm caused by war, so that can be war from trauma from your past, trauma, you know, as you go on through life, rejection, oh my goodness, trauma. Let's say trauma. Because, you know, a lot of us are inflicted from things where we were received during our childhood, right? So some of that has stopped us from being able to evolve in the person that God created from the beginning. So his grace protects us from the physical harm that has been caused by war or any trauma by anybody. And because damage can impair our value, God's grace repairs our value. First of all, yes, those things happen to us and might tear us up and we go left, but his grace will repair our value and our usefulness. Because the damage impairs it. My God, the damage tears us up. That's just like me. You know, I love to talk about me. We all know that God created us, we were fearfully and wonderfully made, right? We were a thought. So that means from the beginning, when God thought about you and I, we were perfect. He had an assignment for us. He saw us in completion. He saw us whole. He saw us pure. He saw us free. All of that. Before he placed us in our mother's womb, we were completed creation from God. So think about like this right here. I like to use analogies. I like to use certain things to compare to what I'm talking about to make it sound, you know, understanding. So think of a package that you receive that you have to put together. All right. So when you receive the box or when you purchase the box, it has its completed. It has the completed look of how you're supposed to put it together. Right. So on the box, just like, you know, Christmas time, you might buy your kids a dollhouse, and it's going to come in parts. But you have instructions and you have a picture of what it looks like completed. Come on, Lord. Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Woo. I'm sorry, y'all. That thing just hit me. That's good. That is good. So when God, before he placed us in our mother's womb, he saw the completed version of us, right? So when he placed us in our mother's womb, the Holy Spirit that Jesus left when he ascended is the instruction for our parents on how to nourish us and how to put us together as we grow. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, y'all. Lord, these tears, I tell you. Tears of joy, though. Tears of joy. Like, okay, so the Holy Spirit is the instruction on how to care for what God has given our parents. How if you all are parents, if some of you are parents, when he placed a baby in your womb, the Holy Spirit was the instructions, because he also has a completed version of who you are. Because God didn't make not one mistake when he created you. So he gave the instructions. Now, whether we followed those instructions, or whether our parents followed those instructions, or whether our parents' parents followed instructions for them when they were created and placed in their womb, is not on God. So when you think of a package that comes and it has the parts to build it up to its completed version of the product, if you place the wrong part at the wrong time, then it's messed up. The completed part is not going to look as it should. I hope I'm saying this as I'm hearing it. I hope that y'all are able to understand it. So as a baby, that's in part, a baby, toddler, child, how I go, you know what I mean? You go from a baby to a toddler to, I guess, child to adolescent. I guess that's how I go. Anyway, you all know, you follow me. So that's in part, right? So if during your childhood, during the stage of being a baby, we are to protect that baby. We are to nourish that baby. We are to do everything it takes for that baby to grow into what God has already completed. And so, as I said before, yes, some babies have to go through trauma, but that wasn't God's instructions. Some babies are not being fed, but that was not the instructions. So when people try to blame God and wonder why my life is like this, when we make it through that trauma, His grace controls the damage that will repair the value and the usefulness of your life. We cannot get caught up in what's not, what happened, what was done to us, what was not done to us, and get stuck there and blame God and say he's not real and say, oh, if he knows everything, if he has all power, then why did he allow this to happen? His instructions on our life is not what everybody uses. And because we have free will, he's not going to intervene when you're doing what you want to do. When Satan was kicked out of heaven, he was kicked out of heaven into earth. It doesn't say that he went to hell. So if he's in the earthly realm and he's mad because he got kicked out of heaven, he gonna come down here and try to build a camp to go against God. So that means he, okay, just like the word says, that he prowls around like a roaring lion. I'm paraphrasing. So if he's able to prowl around, it means he's actively walking around, right? So that means he's in the earthly realm. So unfortunately, you have some who will bow to him and become evil doers. And that's Bible. You know, I'm going to reference everything to the Bible. So if he's able to, again, walk around on earth and he's evil because he's angry. So he's trying to come. He's trying to come and get, you know, he is here walking around. He's evil. So he's going to have those ones who believe and who worship him. So he's going to go ahead and build his camp. And they're going to start teaming up with him. And evil things are going to happen. And when you say God allowed it, because he is sovereign. He does know all. He does. But if you believe that all things work together for your good, and if his grace is given to us and his grace is damage control, it happened to you, but it won't kill you. So back to Satan being angry in the earthly realm, he's here for one thing. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if someone is going to submit to the evil kingdom, then they're going to do evil things. And that's just kind of the world that we live in. Unfortunately, I mean, when you are able to choose your own will, and no matter if God is pleased with it or not, you feel good about it. That is part of you choosing what your conscience is telling you to do. And so what is your conscience being influenced by? Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because, you know, people already want to turn from God because they feel like, oh, it's rules to go by. There's principles. Okay. And those principles is a part of God's grace. And it's going to be what covers you until Jesus returns. But you allow pride to get in your mind and you allow worshiping of yourself get in the way of respecting someone who has all power. And if you just submit to him, everything that you think that can never, everything that you feel that is holding you back from being the completed version that God has created you to be, then you will allow that trauma to keep you from that. And again, I get it. Because, you know, I love to talk about me. Let me go back to me. So God sees me in completion because he knows our end from the beginning, right? So when we are doing our own thing, his grace is what is allowing us to go do our own thing. Even when the damage happens, when the damage didn't kill us, that was God's grace. Damage control. It didn't kill us, but it hurt us, tore us up. And it could have, the things that I chose to do on my own could have killed me. Okay. Could have killed me. When I hear stories of women being killed, raped, kidnapped from doing some of the things that I have did. And I'm talking about like meeting a stranger, not really knowing who it is. And you know, they say, well, meet us here and we'll go. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not bragging about that because I thank God for the covering because I didn't have to make it out. But God. So that's why I'm able to sit here now and try to encourage other women and men to know that, listen, you might have gotten away with it for years, right? And we don't know the next time that God gonna give permission to whoever, to whatever is out there to get you, and it takes you under. And you don't want to keep playing Russian roulette with your life by taking for granted God's grace. But anyway, back to me. From starting my own, choosing my own way, choosing my own way caused my depression, caused my anxiety, caused my rejection. My free will did that because I didn't want to follow the principles of what could lead me straight to my completed version with no delays. And so how can I sit here and say, why God, why me? When I was out here with my own will and when it turned left, then I want to say, why God? What? So when I was doing my own will, I was delaying the process of being built into who God has created me to be fully. The Holy Spirit has saw you. The Holy Spirit sees you in your destiny, right? So when you are, the conviction comes when the Holy Spirit is saying, no, Tiffany, that's not it. You know, like, and it ain't no forceful voice. It's not even a forceful, don't do that. It's just one of those things like, why would you, it's a peaceful voice. It's just like, don't choose that way. That's not the way that we have. Continue to follow me. Because I know where you're supposed to be. So if you take a left turn, that's not it. But if you want to take that left turn, do it. But I'm telling you right now, that's not the right way to go. So then we have the option to say, oh, it'll be all right. You know, so-and-so said this and I trust so-and-so. And I know they wouldn't do anything to hurt me. You know, I mean, they said they love me. You know, I've been around, they seem to be loyal, so I don't think going this way would do any damage. And here you are taking that left turn because your flesh wanted to. Your flesh overpowered your spirit because, first of all, you're not feeding your spirit on a daily basis. You're feeding your flesh, and you feed your flesh by worldly things. Sex, drinking, clubbing, music getting in your head, it feeds your flesh. And so it's easier to make that left turn because everything aligns with it. Everything that is not of God that you listen to, that you partake in, is going to root for the left turn. When you want to do right and make the right turn, then you're going to read the word. You're going to listen, you know, listen to your worship music. Pray, and ask God to reveal to you what it is he wants you to do. So then when it's time to make a decision, you know right from wrong. And if you're feeding your spirit, then you're going to be led by your spirit, not by your flesh. That's why it is a command for us to die to our flesh daily. Repent daily so that you can turn from the left and go right. But again, if I'm filling my flesh more so than my spirit, and I'm going to 9 times out of 10 turn to my flesh. But then after it's done, you feel horrible because you're battling. Your spirit is battling because it wants to be saved, but then you're choosing to choose the flesh way. So then that's why it's always a battle when after you've done. Let me speak for myself. After I had always done what I wasn't supposed to do, I would always feel defeated. I would feel like, why am I feeling like this? At the moment, it felt good and I was happy, but now I'm feeling crazy. That's because you are battling between your spirit and your flesh. So because I delayed, I didn't follow instructions. And again, I said the instructions were from the Holy Spirit. I didn't follow the instructions, so I turned left. And I delayed where I could be today. Now, the beauty of God is he's a redeemer of time. But I believe that we have to be consistent in wanting to get back on track to then reach who it is that he has created us to be. You know, I think about people, young people that has lost their lives from senseless murders or car accidents from drinking and driving. And it's just like, again, I've done it. I've been there. I've been there. And to know what makes this message so powerful to me and how the Holy Spirit speaks to me through this message is because when I think of his grace being damage control, I could have wrecked numerous times drinking and driving. I done fell asleep. I was with my sister and she told me that one night we were out and I was driving and she said we was at the red light and I fell asleep. I don't remember that. That's just how drunk and dumb I was. And it's like, I don't deserve his grace. I don't deserve being here today where I am. Oh, Jesus, I don't deserve it. And so it's not like I'm sitting here trying to sound like, oh, because I'm doing this, this is why I got it. No, I'm here as a witness to his grace, because you too can be saved from what you're doing and turn away from it, because you don't know how many times you have or how many chances you can go out there and get drunk and drive and laugh about it on Facebook the next day. And to think that that's what we do, our foolishness is what we do. We laugh about, oh my God, I was so drunk, girl. I couldn't even stay awake behind the wheel. What? And you think about the killings that has happened because of DUI, because of drunk drivers. It could have been me. It could have been you. But his grace is damage control. And that alone gives him all the praise. And so when I think about how I would laugh, oh my God. But because God has completed us, because when he created us, he saw us as perfect, he still allows us another chance. And that's why the Holy Spirit told me God's grace is damage control. You know how many times people aren't able to have that many times to have sex with no protection and catch a disease they can't get rid of? And because of that damage, it caused physical harm. It impaired their value and their usefulness, but God's grace, even for those who have a disease, has restored their value and can use them. Hello, somebody. It's not over for the ones who were inflicted from the activities that they chose that was not of God. You still can make it to your completed version. You still can. That's the beauty of God's grace. It's not to be taken for granted just to say, oh, well, I'll be okay because I did it yesterday and I'm here today. Woe unto you. As you know, God has all power. So if he is keeping you, it's for a reason. Your free will is a pathway to destruction. Your free will is not going to get you into heaven. It's not going to get you into destiny, because you're going to choose it, and God still loves you, but you're going to choose your way. And who's to say that the next step that you take in your free will won't kill you? And then on and with that being said, it's been plenty of times that could have been killed me, but His grace, His grace kept me. You don't know the day, the time, the hour, when it's your last. But because of His grace that provides damage control, we are here today. And it's another chance to choose God's will for your life and not your free will. But He respects your free will. It's not even a force to get you to turn it over. It's a desire of God. God desires for you to have everything that He has for you, but He don't force you. And so when we choose a lifestyle, when we choose a lifestyle that is against the will of God, we are saying that we are choosing to not be saved, because we're saved because He sent Jesus. Not because of what we say, not because of what we do, not because we go to church on Sunday, not because we go to Bible study, not because we read the word. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. So when you deny God, you are not choosing salvation. If you are living a life that is not pleasing to God, and I'm talking about you chose a lifestyle that is complete opposite of what God said, you are removing yourself from salvation. You are doing it. God isn't, because He saved you without you even doing anything. And then, Lord, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your grace. I could have been dead a long time ago. Should have been. The times I chose to do what I wanted to do could have been my last. And what if I didn't have a chance to repent and ask for forgiveness? The wages of sin is death. But you don't have to. You don't have to choose your way. You can now get the instructions of your completed self and get there. God has a picture of your completed version in your destiny. It's there. Stop fighting a war that is declared by the enemy and turn right. It's not too late. It's not too late to accept Christ in your heart, to believe that He died and rose again for you. It is not. All you have to do is say that you believe and ask God to come into your heart. Believe that He died and rose again. And you're saved. And then after that, you get into your Bible. You get into your word. Start doing Bible plans. Start learning the instructions that God has for your life so that you can meet, so you can collide with the final version of who you are. Yes, those things that we did, that we chose to do, that made our value go down only in our understanding, because we can't understand the way God does. So we saw our value depreciate, and God is like, come, I will restore that. You are still useful to me. Your value is still high to me because I see the end. I know your end. So it's not over. If I had to believe that for my life, because I carried for so long shame because I'm a single parent, shame because I have two kids out of wedlock, shame, y'all. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed because I was the one that waited. I was the one that waited. I was a virgin all the way until I was 21. And so I was so excited about being the only girl that I knew of and through high school that was pure. Like, I'm innocent. These boys after me. I'm talking about after me, okay? Like, they thought that they were charming. They thought they were saying the things that I wanted to hear. And they thought they was wooing me. But I was just like, sir, that's not it. So, you know, I might have had a little S on my chest because I'm a virgin. I know everybody out here having sex. They bragging about it, you know. So I made it out of high school. go. And my goal was, oh, I'm going to wait because my aunt, I have an aunt who is still a virgin and she is in her 50s. And I was like, I'm going to be just like my aunt. I'm going to save myself until God send me my husband because it's not worth it. Like, I don't want to end up teen pregnancy, da, 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 da. I had a goal, y'all. I had a goal. And the only reason I can have a goal that high that can seem impossible during a world, doing, you know, being in an environment where everybody's having sex and loving and asking me, how can you not have it? I'm like, how can I want someone I never had? You know, so I felt great. But then, and the only reason, I was saying I had that goal because that was my instruction that the Holy Spirit was giving me then. Like, yes, you can, this is what God wants for you, so continue on that path. But then my environment changed. I got old enough in my mind. Oh, I'm 21. Everybody been bragging about it since I was in the ninth grade. I'm tired of being the one that's not involved in sex and can't feel what they feel. And they look like they're doing all right. And honey, if it give them that kind of look, I want that look too. A little innocent mindset that got into an environment that was not in the instructions for my life, but my free will, me thinking I'm grown because I hit 21, I planned it. I was like, okay, so this night when I turn 21, it's over with. How foolish of me. So that's when I started to write my own instructions. That's when my free will kicked in. That's when I started doing my own thing. And I tell you, I opened the door to hell. That's just what I did. Because after that, hit 21, I'm telling y'all, let's see, November, December, January, February, March. I was involved twice. Let me see. Maybe three times and got pregnant. So my world came crashing down. I was living the life though because I was doing what I wanted to do, but it was so short-lived. It was so short-lived. And I can't remember. And after that, that's when my shame came, my guilt came. So because I thought my value was depreciated, I turned up. I was like, oh, well, the innocent tip that God probably had, he probably mad at me and it's a wrap now. I can't be who he said I was before he placed my mama's womb because I didn't show out. I didn't do what I wanted to do. I got a baby. I'm supposed to be married. The principles of, you know, the principles of God is like, you know, don't have any kids out of wedlock, da 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 da. But I done did it now, so let me just go on live my life. I mean, because this my life now. My life is shame. And I'm embarrassed. I got kids. Anybody going to see me as he has saw me? Listen, so I turned up from 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. I joined a church after I had Jordan in 2009 because I was just like, oh my God, like, Lord, help me. You know, joined a church, still turned up. So I think, you know, around that time, 2009 is when I started kind of feeling something was, you know, I need to fix something. Something's different, but I wasn't yielding to that. And all along it was, you know, the Holy Spirit trying to take me from destroying my life and say, no, this is what we have. Yes, you've done that, but bring it to God. Bring it to God, because when you take it to the Lord, when you surrender that stuff over that has happened to you from childbirth, from toddler to childhood, adolescent, teenage to adult, he can redeem and restore you because he sees you as value. Okay, yes, you may have impaired it. Somebody else may have impaired it, but God still sees you as useful and valued. And his grace carried me from the time I threw away my life to now. And still providing grace, because I'm not trying to sound perfect. But I know from then that now if I choose my flesh, nothing good is going to come. And that is period, point blank. So I'm going to do a part two on this, because when I tell you I didn't touch nothing of the notes that I had got that took me so long before I could record this, but I always ask the Holy Spirit to lead these episodes. But I want to finish up with this because I got more. I have more. So I'm saying to the person today who feels like my life is useless, my value is gone because of what I've done. Baby, the devil is a lie. Men, you are kings. You can strive to be the completed part that God has created you to be. Don't keep falling by the wayside of these drugs and guns and clubbing and drinking and screwing all these women and women. Your value. You were created to be a wife. There are instructions on who you are. Get into your work. Get your relationship with Jesus. He can tell you it's okay. You still have value. You still have usefulness of your life. If you are not dead, God can still use you. It's not over. The devil has been trying to keep you bound to make you feel useless so he can keep using you. You don't want to be used by him. So because his ways is completely darkness. You know, I come for the darkness. I come for darkness because I've been there. And ain't nothing in the dark for you. It feel good, but it's not for your good. God is going to take everything that you felt like caused you to be useless to be used. I know that because he told me the same thing. And I ain't no different from you. And he is not a respecter of person. So listen, I thank you all for your time. Get saved. Listen, repent. Turn away from those things. Give it to God. Surrender your life over. Take it out of the hands of the enemy and give it to the one who holds your eternal life in heaven. Because there is a hell. Okay? And continue to allow the enemy to rule your life. That's where you're going. And he's trying to get you down there because when his time is up, that's where he's going. And that's why he want to get you with him because he don't want to go by himself. So don't feel like your life is over. Your value is still high. You are a royal priesthood. I say it all the time, and I'm going to keep reminding you. You are royalty. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Get out of that. Your life has value. Okay? I love you guys. Love you guys so much. I will be back, as always. I'm never leaving y'all because I love y'all. And I want y'all to be out here doing the unusual. And what that means is the ones who used to you doing the usual, nah, tell them you have found this young lady by the name of Tiffany, who is your coach, and she is leading you out of darkness to do the unusual. Because the unusual is going to collide. It's going to lead you right into your destiny. So again, I thank you guys for listening. Also, I have some very exciting news, you guys. I have just been added to a coaching and mentor directory. Woohoo! I need some sounds, honey, so I can hype that up. Because listen, if I had never got out of darkness, I would have never been where I am today. And to be added to a directory with other coaches could have been fearful. But baby, I ain't fearful no more. And I'm coming for everything that God has for me. So check it out. I can now be booked on this website. Like, come on. God, listen, this is part of the instructions to lead me to my destiny completed part now. I'm finally following the instructions for my life. And listen, it's been all good. It's been even the times where it's like, Lord, what's going on? It's still good. It's still good. Even if it hurt a little bit, it's still good. So don't allow the little bit of hurt to keep you thinking like this ain't it, because it's part of it. But keep going, because God ain't going to leave you. He'll never leave us. So back to this. I'm added to the coaching directory. I am so excited. And so I am now able to be booked to be your coach one-on-one. You can get me into your life every day, not just weekly or every 2 weeks when I record. So the information is, I'm going to put it down in the notes as well, but also the website is mymentor.life, and you do the backslash Tiffany W. I hope I said that right. I don't know what that little thing called. But either way, it's mymentor.life/Tiffany W. Check me out and book me so we can get your instructions, get you the right instruction to your destiny. Okay? I love you guys, and I'll see you all next episode.